All right, so we're in Psalm 3, and I have begun preaching in the Psalms. Just so you know, I do not plan on preaching all 150 Psalms. We would be in the Psalms for 3 years if I did that. And so, but I am preaching the next Psalm, and we'll go for, I don't know how long we'll go, 20 weeks or something. We'll see. You should be in Psalm 3 now. There's a book, it's an American novel, short novel, called The Pearl. And in the book, it's about a pearl diver who finds the pearl of great price. He finds this massive pearl, and everybody wants it. And they want to steal it from him. And in the course of someone trying to steal it from him, there's a fight, and he's defending himself, and he kills the guy. And so he has to flee, because no one is going to be on his side. And so he's running, and he's in the desert. The story is set in Baja, Mexico. That's that little leg of Mexico that sticks way out to the west. And so that's where the story is set, and it's dry, and it's hot, and it's a ruthless environment. And Kino is the name of the pearl diver. And he and his wife and his little baby boy, Coyotito, are fleeing. And there are people chasing them. And they're out in the desert. And there are trackers with guns coming after him. And if they find him, basically his life is over. They're not going to even take him home alive. Or his family. And there's a scene in the movie where he's fleeing. It's nighttime. And he sees the people back who are coming after him. They're kind of up in the mountains. They fled away from the ocean. And what I want you to do is I want you to imagine yourself in a situation like that. And so here you are, and here are a whole bunch of people coming to take your life. And you're running for your life. And if they catch you, your life is done. And it's late at night. There's no fire, because if you had a fire, you would let them know where you are. And so there's no fire going on. It's quiet. And you have time to think. What are you thinking? You can answer this question. What are you thinking right now?
God.
You're thinking about God, okay? How do you feel right now?
Furious.
You're angry? Furious?
Desperate.
Desperate? Okay, you're desperate.
I'm waiting for a miracle.
You want a miracle. Okay? You're afraid. You're scared. Okay? Have you ever been scared before? Yeah, good. Or felt helpless? There's nothing I can do. I remember when I was a teenager, I worked up in a camp out in Colorado. It's called Spring Canyon. And we went up, there's a mountain peak there above the canyon. The canyon's about 10,000 feet at the base, but we climbed the mountain up above it. And we got up to the top, and it was time to come down because it was getting late, and we started coming down the mountain. And we didn't really know the mountain. And so we came down the wrong way. And all of a sudden, the trail ended in their cliffs. And it's now nighttime. And so here we are, we're trapped on this mountain at night. And it's getting really cold. And we didn't come up prepared for cold. And we don't really have food or anything. And man, I was scared. because I looked over the edge and I saw how far down it was. And the camp down at the base sent some people up to, because they knew we had gone, and so they sent some people to come, sort of a rescue party, I guess you would say. And I still remember how we got off that mountain at midnight or 1 a.m. or whatever time it was. I have no idea what time it was. But George Meadows Jr., he and another guy led the rescue party. They found a way up to where we were. And this is how we got down. George Meadows took one person at a time, and he had a flashlight. And he would say, "Put your foot on that rock right there." And he would shine the flashlight on the rock, and you would put your foot there. "Grab that branch sticking out from the cliff right there," and you would grab that branch. "Take your hand and grab that rock right there." You would take your hand and grab that rock. "Put your other foot on that ledge right there." And you would put your other foot on that ledge. And he gradually worked every one at a time. He did this one person at a time and worked our way from up to the cliff down to a little place where we were able to finally find a trail that could take us down to the rock slide where we could actually walk normally. I was scared, man. Because I saw what... It was dark. You couldn't look down and see down once it was dark. But I knew what it was, and I knew... All I see is put my foot on the ledge, grab the branch, grab the rock. That's all I knew. And we were talking to God that night when we were coming down off of that cliff. Now, that scenario, Tino running in the desert, or when I'm scared coming down off the mountain, those sorts of things, that is where King David is. He was in a worse situation than I was in. He probably may have been in a worse situation than Kino was in, the pearl diver. He was at war with his son, Absalom. And Absalom had taken Jerusalem, and King David had fled. So he fled the city. He had some supporters who were with him. And Absalom eventually raised an army from all over Israel, and he had tens of thousands of soldiers. And those tens of thousands of soldiers are now coming out chasing David, Absalom's father. And David is running away in the wilderness from his own son. That's where he is. David is a fox, and the dogs are chasing him. He's a sheep, and the wolves are surrounding him. He's outnumbered, and quite frankly, he's helpless. There really isn't anything he can do. And while he is there, late at night, I'm sure, while he's doing that thinking, he wrote himself a psalm. And it's the psalm we're going to look at, Psalm 3. And so you can see at the beginning it says a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. And so this is a psalm that David wrote one night while he had some time. I'm just going to read it, and we're going to talk about it. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, "There is no salvation for him in God." Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. Selah. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God.
For you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. David is writing down his thoughts while he's running like a chased animal in the desert. This is a prayer. Look, the first word in the psalm is Lord in Hebrew. The first word in here is ho, but in the Hebrew it's Lord. He's talking to God. He's saying Lord. And then he begins by saying, Lord, I'm in trouble. Look at what he says in the first two verses. What word do you keep seeing in those first two verses? Many. How many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Many, many, many. He's emphasizing that to God. He's talking to God, but he's saying, God, there are so many men who want to cut my throat right now. In fact, it's so bad that David says, many are saying of my soul, there's no salvation for him in God. In other words, they're saying, it's so bad, not even God can save him now. There are people talking that way. He probably has people in his own campsite who are saying that. He's overheard some of the people who are talking. I don't think God's going to help him. I don't think God's going to get him out of this. That's where David is. This is when life is hopeless. You ever been there? Where life looks hopeless? This is when your husband dies. This is when a loved one gets sick. This is when you get fired and there's nothing you can do about it. This is when life just hit you in the face. And it isn't good. And you can't help it. You can't do anything. And so when you're in that situation, what are you going to do when you're in that situation? Guys, what David did is he prayed. That's what this psalm is. It's a prayer. Oh Lord, and he tells God his troubles. And they're even saying, you can't help me, God. He's telling God that they're telling him that God can't help him. But then, look at verse 3. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me. It's a contrast. Many are his foes. Many are rising up against him. Many are saying, God isn't going to help him, but you, God, are my shield. He's got enemies who want to stick a sword through his belly. And he's saying, God, you're my protection. I have to trust you. That's really what this is, trust. This is trust. When I was on the mountain, I had to trust God. This is saying, whatever your situation is, it's saying, God, you've got my finances. I know it looks bad, but you've got my finances. This is saying, God, I may have cancer, but I'm in your hands. You're my protection. This is saying, even if my family members surround me, you're my shield, God. You're my God. I have you. That's what David is saying here. he has his own son coming after him. And he's saying, God, you're my protection. David is running to God. Frankly, where else can he go? He doesn't really have a lot of options where he is right now. And it says in verse 4, I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. That's prayer again, this crying aloud to the Lord. And catch the word aloud. David isn't doing one of those quiet prayers, you know, in the den, where you just pray mentally. It's verbal for David, and it's probably, it may be pretty loud right now. By the way, I think there is something about verbalizing your prayers that cements the prayer in your soul more. And so when you pray, go ahead and pray aloud. Maybe that's why Jesus talked about a closet. I don't know. And so he's crying to God. He's saying, Lord, I'm surrounded. My enemies are everywhere, but you're my shield. You lift my head. You're my glory. The idea is you give me strength. Just lifting my head and giving me glory. You're my glory. And God answers him. You see that in verse 4. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. God answered this desperate man who needed God. And David is finding strength in a situation in which there is no hope. But he is finding strength. And so you, what about you? Where do you go when you're in trouble? Let's just watch some TV, put my mind on something else right now, eat some chocolate. Go do your work. Just sort of bury yourself in your work. But get your mind on something else. Is that what you do? I just got to get my mind on something else. Listen, that's shallow. That's not going to do you any good. It's like taking a pill that wears off in an hour or 6 hours or whatever it is, you know. But it doesn't deal with the symptom. It doesn't deal with the real problem. All it does is divert your attention. But God gives peace. And he gives peace deep down. And he gives peace in the midst of a situation when your son is sending an army after you and is chasing you like a dog. And David is getting peace from God in the midst of that. God gives you peace when it looks hopeless. He just does. That's how God is. Now, I say he gives you peace and that David is getting peace, and let me show it to you in the psalm itself. Just read the next verse, verse 5. David says, I laid down and slept. I awoke again, for the Lord, he sustained me. Guys, hear that. Here is a man who doesn't know if he's going to be alive the next morning. And he goes to bed at night and he sleeps. Let me ask you a question. You ever stay up all night worrying about something? It's on your mind, you know? I can't get this off my mind. and I can't sleep because I have this thing on my mind. Now, if ever anyone had a reason to stay up at night worrying, it's David right here. You know, if you were in David's situation, would you be sleeping? Or would you be up all night worrying about every sound you hear in the dark? But David goes to God and he says, "You are my shield. You are my glory. You are the lifter of my head." And I lay down and slept. Praise the Lord. And you know what? In 1000 BC, David is 1000 BC. In 1000 BC, you know what they didn't have? Drugs to help you sleep. This was natural sleep. This wasn't some, let me take me some, I don't know, whatever they have, and knock you out sleep. This was real sleep. Now, that is faith. That's what that is. Maybe the next time you stay up late at night worrying about whatever it is that you might be worrying about, maybe break out this psalm and read it. And tell God, you know how, what David does? He tells him the troubles in verses 1 and 2. Lord, this is what's going on. Okay, well, do that. Say, Lord, this is what's going on with me. But you're my shield. You're my glory. You're the lifter of my head. And start letting that sink into your heart. Despite whatever might be going on, let God begin to sink into your heart. It changes you. It changes how you look at whatever is going on. And so, you know, Lord, I just lost my job. Lord, the finances, whatever they are. Lord, my dad, you know what he just said. Lord, my, but you're my shield. Pray it. Believe it. It'll change you. In addition to David sleeping, he also says he's actually not going to be afraid of the situation. Just look at the next verse, verse 6. He says, I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. And literally, that is actually what is happening with him. There are many thousands of people who have set themselves against him all around. That's, if you actually read the story, this story, you can read this story in 2 Samuel. And so, that's actually what's going on. There really are many thousands of people coming after him right now. And he's saying, I'm not going to fear them. A battle is coming. A real physical battle. In those days with arrows and spears and swords. And men are going to die. That's what's going on. And they're going to die by the thousands, perhaps. And he's outnumbered and he's surrounded. But he's not afraid. It's not because the situation is easy. It's because God is his shield. God is his protection. God is the one who lifts up his head. God is the one who gives him strength. That's why he's not afraid of many thousands of people who have surrounded him. God has brought David peace. That's what God has done. That's God's business. He's in the peace business. He gives peace to your soul. But he only does it when you go to him. If you don't go to him, don't expect peace from God. It's not coming. Because you won't go to him. Go to him. Now, finally, David gets around to asking God for something. Up through the first six verses, he doesn't really ask God for anything. He tells God his situation. He declares that God is his shield. He gives us the results. I cried and he answered me. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for God sustains me. I'm not going to be afraid. Now he's going. Now he actually, verse 7, he actually asks God for something. And he says, arise, Lord, save me. They say there is no salvation for him in God. That's verse 1. 2. It's verse 2. So they're saying, you can't save me. I'm saying, save me. Verse 7. Now, God doesn't listen to what the world says. The world is talking all around him. This world looks only at the circumstances. You know, the world around David that's talking and saying, oh, God, even God can't get him out of this one. All they're looking at is the circumstances. What, you know what they're not looking at? God. They're acting as if God isn't God. But God is God. And in one sense, the circumstances don't matter if it's God. And David is looking past the circumstances to God. And so the world's looking at this, and they're talking. It's just that God's bigger than that. God's a lot bigger than that. You have a pretty small God if you think God can't do fill in the blank, whatever it happens to be. Your God is very small. And for David, he says, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For you strike my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. That's faith. He's saying, Lord, you will strike them on the cheek. You will break their teeth. It's a metaphor. It's not literally God's literally going to slap them. But it's a picture of a punch in the face. You strike them on the cheek. You break their teeth. He's saying to God, punch them in the face. God. If you want to kind of put it crassly, that's the idea. God, punch them in the face. And you know what we like to do? We like to say, oh, that's in the Bible. You're like, he can't pray that kind of prayer. That's not godly to pray that way. Listen. It's easy for you to say that sitting on your couch while you drink your coffee. It's another thing to say that when you're the one in the desert running from men who want to put arrows in your body. It's a different. When you're in that situation, then you can talk. Until you're in that situation, you can't go talking. When the Psalms, because we're going to encounter this in the Psalms a lot, where the psalmist is praying for God to do something to the enemies. And when you're in the situation that the psalmist is in, you then have the right to actually critique him. But until you're in that situation, sorry, you don't really have the right to critique him on that. I really think God actually spoke to him and gave him the picture of punch him in the face kind of picture. David just believes it. He believes God is going to deliver him. God is going to save him. He says that, verse 8, salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. That's the salvation that in verse 2 they're saying, all the people are saying, you're not going to get any salvation. And that's the same salvation that in verse 7 he's saying, Lord, save me. And now he's saying salvation belongs to this, to God's people. This is a salvation psalm. It's a salvation from a hopeless situation. In English we have this saying. The saying goes like this. God helps those who... help themselves. That's the saying in English. I think it came from Ben Franklin. Spiritually, that saying is garbage. It's just nonsense. God helps those who help. Actually, this psalm is quite the opposite. God helps those who cannot help themselves. Because that's exactly where David is. David cannot help himself. And he's calling on God, and he's saying, God, I cannot help myself. Help me. This psalm says that when you are desperate, or when life makes no sense, or when you don't know how you are going to make it through whatever is going on in your life, or when the doctor says you've got 3 months to live, or when your life crumbles, this psalm says, God hears. God hears. He hears you. This psalm also says God will give you peace in the midst of whatever it happens to be that you are going through. Okay, what I want to do then is this. I want you to take out a pen, and I want you to write down one difficult situation you face right now. Okay, so you've written something down that should be going on in your life that you face. Now what I want you to do, in the psalm, David, in the first two verses, told it to God. He just said, Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of me, there's no salvation for him in God. Okay, all I want you to do is tell it to God. Whatever that happens to be. So I'm just going to give you a minute to do that. You can do it, since it may be personal and you may not want it, you can do it silently if you wish. But for homework, you can pray it aloud for homework. If you want to pray it silently here, that's fine. But I want you to pray, tell God whatever that you just wrote down. God, this is what's going on. Tell him. Now what I want you to do is pray the rest of the psalm. Just keep continuing. And so start at verse 3. So you just told God what's going on. But you, Lord, are a shield about me. My glory. And the lifter of my head. And I cried aloud to the Lord. He answered me out of his holy hill. I laid down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord, he sustains me. I will not be afraid of, and then whatever your situation is, I will not be afraid of, fill it in. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. Instead of strike all my enemies on the jaw, whatever the situation is, put that in there. Take care of this situation. If it involves enemies, you can pray it that way if you wish. Strike all my enemies on the cheek. For salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessings be on your people. Amen. That's how that psalm goes. It's really relevant to today, isn't it?